The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Now, it's no secret that we have a huge mass incarceration problem here in the United States of America. There are even more jails here than colleges, if that shows you what we as a country are prioritizing at the moment. But we're not here to talk about that today. Well, we kind of are, but not really. Let me explain. When you think of someone getting out of jail or being sentenced to house arrest, you probably think that's a good thing, that they're better off at home than in prison. And in many cases, that may be the truth, or it may be the complete opposite. Here's the thing. We don't know much about house arrest or the tools like ankle monitors that are used to enforce it. There are no studies about the effects of these devices, how effective house arrest is, or what the toll house arrest can make on a person's mentality. We virtually know nothing about any of this because the information simply doesn't exist. And anytime the info is not being voluntarily put out there, we know there's probably some problems. My guest today is James Kilgore. He's the author of Understanding Ecarceration and former house arrestee himself. James is one of the few people asking questions about incarceration, which is growing at rapid rates. So let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 61 now, the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, the author of Understanding Ecarceration, James Kilgore. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Dolo White. Nice to see you.
We all know in America we have just an awful problem with our prison system. That's not what your book is really about. It's about that, but it's about ecarceration, which is kind of new. The anklets are probably the most known type of ecarceration. What are some of the problems that we're seeing already with this? Is it kind of a new concept? Or I know the ankle bracelets have been around for a while, but as far as like, I thought that was more or less when somebody got out of prison, they then got an anklet for a little while. But now it's like you're still kind of locked up, but you're outside, correct?
That's right. And I think people have for a long time looked at these devices as if it's just a piece of plastic wrapped around your leg. And why should it bother you? But as more and more people have been put on these devices, we've begun to see how punitive they really are and how they really amount to converting your home and your space into a prison, into a jail cell, and with your family in there as well. And so for me, it becomes also a problem of, you know, who's being put on these things, what communities are being impacted by these things, and are we creating, you know, prisons without walls, particularly in Black and brown communities, which are already disproportionately impacted by mass incarceration to begin with.
So we're seeing that the incarceration more and more in Black and brown communities.
Well, the fact of the matter is that we don't get data on this technology. That the companies and the government entities that sign contracts for electronic monitoring, they don't give us data. So there's only a few jurisdictions across the country where we can say, where we can get a racial breakdown of who's on these devices. But we know enough about mass incarceration. We know enough from talking to dozens and dozens of people who have been on electronic monitors that they're using these things on Black people in particular. They're using them more punitively on Black people because, of course, they put Michael Cohen or Martha Stewart on an electronic monitor, but they don't get locked into a one-bedroom apartment with seven people in it 24/7. You know, Martha Stewart's on her 151-acre ranch, so, you know, her house arrest for her is a little bit
right
than for the average person coming out of prison or jail. So I think people haven't really, particularly judges and so forth, that they don't really think about what actually happens to a person who's on a monitor. And in fact, you might be putting them in the very place they don't need to be, depending on what the environment is like in the place where they're living.
I think the one thing that is obvious with the prison system here is that, one, there's no real rehabilitation in prison, right? I think that's what it's supposed to be, right? I commit a quote unquote crime, I go away, and then when I come back, I'm rehabilitated and I'm not going to commit that crime again, right? That's not how prison works, and I'm guessing that's probably not how incarceration is working either. Is that correct?
Oh, totally. There's no I mean, you don't. It's not like you get an ankle monitor and supports.
Right.
It's like you get the ankle monitor, the house arrest, and if you're lucky, you can get a hold of your parole agent to ask him, can I go to the store and buy some milk or can I take out the garbage? If you're lucky, you get a hold of them. You get a 1-800 number to call. Maybe they pick up after half an hour or an hour. Maybe they'll relay the information to the parole agent. Maybe they won't. So, but there's no program that comes with it in most instances. Or the programs that they send you to are things that you have to pay for in addition to paying for the monitor. And the vast majority of these programs are compulsory and useless.
So if you're, you know, in a one bedroom apartment and you literally can't leave at all without permission, you can't go to the store to get groceries or anything, and you have to ask permission for all of that.
I mean, the rules vary because the rules are set. They vary from place to place, but there's a lot of pretrial electronic monitoring programs where people are locked up 24/7 and they only get out for doctor appointments and for court appearances. I mean, when I came out of prison, went on the monitor, I mean, I was only allowed out of the house from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. I mean, what am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to get my life together in four hours as the sun's coming up? Come on now.
How do you even pay rent or pay for anything?
Exactly. How do you get money? And then they typically don't, even though they're tracking you, they typically don't allow you to do a job where you have to move from place to place to do the job. So if you're doing lawn care, if you're doing house cleaning, if you're doing any kind, if you're driving or delivering, none of those jobs are usually accepted for an electronic monitor because they don't want you moving around, even though they're already tracking you.
And that cuts off a lot of opportunities for people, because I feel like, you know, especially in this day and age now, like a good way to make money is to do things like drive Uber or drive, you know, Grubhub and drop off food and stuff like that, or drive Amazon even.
Exactly. But, you know, in many cases, you're just not allowed to do that kind of work. Or a lot of times they won't let you work at night because they think that's when you're going to get in trouble.
We know one of the main problems with the traditional prison system, I know it has, you're way more well-versed on it than I am, but a lot of these prisons are for-profit now. And you always say, like, if there's a profit to locking somebody up, more people are going to end up getting locked up. Is there a profiteer of incarceration that we know of yet?
I think the role of private prisons and private industry in the prison system is exaggerated. 90%+ of these prisons are, you know, run by state and local government. So, but nonetheless, that doesn't take away from the fact that nobody should be making money off of locking people up. The electronic monitoring, on the other hand, I mean, it's companies that own these devices, companies that produce these devices. It varies from state to state, jurisdiction to jurisdiction, as to whether they simply rent the devices to like a probation or a parole department, or whether they actually not only provide the devices, but provide the supervision like what a parole agent might do. And each county, each state has their own contract for electronic monitoring. So the conditions and arrangements can vary a lot from one place to another.
Have there been studies on the effects of mental health with these incarcerations?
Let me tell you, there have been no studies done on electronic monitoring. They have gotten a free pass on this technology. There is very little research out there that can tell us what the impact of electronic monitoring is, or what the outcomes from electronic monitoring are. How many people on electronic monitors end up back in prison? How many people on electronic monitors end up having serious mental health problems? Or how many people with electronic monitors end up having physical reactions to the device? I get emails and messages from people who send me pictures of these massive infections on their leg from these devices. But there's no studies out there that actually tell us what happens to these, you know, what these devices might do to cause this. And the people that hire them don't demand a report or an assessment of what they do. They just get a free pass and a check.
And this has been going on for a while now. Like, there's just no studies, nothing. And
it's the 1980s they've been using this stuff. I mean, I started researching this the minute they put that thing on me in 2009. I started looking for research on it. It's just not there. And the few studies that are there are so badly designed that they really are meaningless.
This is just going to get worse in the future, correct? Like, this is just, we're still at the tip of the iceberg here. We're still just in the beginning phase of this e-carceration. If it goes like everything else is gone, correct?
Yeah, because especially if you consider that e-carceration is not just electronic monitors. What I'm talking about is the whole range of surveillance devices, license plate readers, facial recognition software, drones, weaponized databases, a whole package of technologies. And obviously, we know the capacity of these technologies is growing, as is the capacity of our very own cell phones to track every detail of our life and send it to the cloud to Amazon and Microsoft and Google to play with.
And that's happening with the e-monitors too, correct? They're sending data to the...
The minute they became location trackers, that data, that location tracking data is going to the cloud. That's where it gets stored. And so it meets up with all your other data on the cloud and paints a portrait of you, what kind of a person you are.
Do you think that they can find out more from an e-carceration standpoint than just somebody's phone? Or do you think somebody's phone is enough? You know what I mean? Or is it...
I mean, a phone is a powerful tool of surveillance, especially if they make you download a bunch of apps, or if they jump inside your phone and start looking through your contacts. We don't really know what they do. I mean, that's the other part. I mean, they claim, for example, that they use an app called BI SmartLink to supervise people who are on parole. And they say, well, this has tracking capacity, but we don't use it. We don't turn it on. But you have to do a video check-in with this thing. So how do we know that that's the only video that they're accessing off your phone? We can't trust these people. We can't trust the big tech companies that design this stuff. And we can't trust the departments of corrections that are using it.
This is really eye-opening because I feel like you said there's no studies. And I feel like you're the only person really talking about this right now.
I mean, I'll say this, that there's a number of kind of activist-oriented people who have been doing studies. And largely what we've been doing is gathering the stories of people who have been on it or gathering some data from a few jurisdictions that actually keep data. So Cook County, Illinois, Indianapolis, Indiana, Houston, Texas, San Francisco, Los Angeles. These are places that keep some pretty detailed records of electronic monitoring, but most other jurisdictions don't provide much.
Of the people that you've talked to that have had bad experiences with these, what would you say one of the worst experiences you've heard of was?
Well, I think the worst experience is really when you have a family emergency or a personal health emergency, and you have to decide whether or not you're going to respond to that and go to the hospital and run the risk of being sent back to prison, or whether you're going to just let it ride. If you're a parent and you have a child with a health emergency, are you going to go to the hospital? What are you going to do? And that to me is one of the biggest ones. I mean, another one which is really absurd is a man named Kent Schultz was on an ankle monitor in Lansing, Michigan, and his house caught fire, his apartment caught fire, and he went outside and he called his parole agent from the street. The parole agent told him to go back in the house and get the box for the device. So he went back in the house and got the device. Luckily, he didn't get burned to death. Like the Red Cross or something came and put him up in a hotel for the night. And the next morning, he went down to the police to report that he was, that he didn't stay in his house because it burnt down and they locked him up.
God, that's mind blowing to me. Like that, I don't understand how, you know, the people at the police station, his parole officer or anybody could be so heartless in that kind of situation, you know?
Well, what happens is these alarms are triggered. You know, it's a techno. So if you don't report from your house at a certain period of time, an alarm is triggered and a warrant for your arrest is issued. So there's no real direct human intervention. It's just triggered. Same thing happens if the electricity goes out in your house during a storm or something. Mm-hmm. Cops may show up at your house and take you to the jail till the electricity comes back.
So some of these things are just simply out of people's hands, but yet they end up going right back to jail because of a data problem, really, like, or a, you know, an electricity problem, or just things that happen.
Exactly. There's assumption that these devices are these highly sophisticated, technically efficient things which they're not.
That's awful. The book is Understanding Incarceration, James Kilgore. Thank you so much for doing this today, man. I really do appreciate it. I feel like I learned a lot in our brief little 15 minutes together here, man. I really appreciate you taking time out.
Okay, thank you, Dolan.
Thank you.
Day.
Yes, sir. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, James Kilgore. Don't forget to check out his book, Understanding Incarceration, that's available right now. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Clubhouse as well. My handles are all the same at DoloWhite101, DoloWhite101. And if you're listening to this podcast on Spotify or Apple, make sure to rate and review. Good ratings and good reviews only, please. If you have something negative to say, I understand you're entitled to your opinion, but you don't have to share it. Definitely appreciate that. Say something nice is what I'm saying. Make sure you subscribe and follow no matter what the platform is you're listening on. I definitely appreciate that. And I'm back next week with a brand new episode talking about astronomical mindfulness with Sarah Scholes. It's going to be a super dope episode. Check that out. And we'll be back next Wednesday. I appreciate you.